Well, remember to pray for Pastor. He's out of town. Went down to the basketball tournament down in Missouri. And they had a safe trip down there. Pray for a safe return. It's not the same when he's not here, so we'll make do with what he's when he's not here. Appreciate the opportunity anytime to get up here and share. I just pray that it's a blessing. And Word of God is powerful. Just wanted to thank you for those who made the trip up to the funeral yesterday. It was a blessing. The gospel was put out very clear. I mean, the whole sermon was about the gospel of Christ. And there was probably a couple hundred people there, and they have no excuse leaving that service yesterday not knowing how to get to heaven. And personal invitation, we offered to, anybody who wanted to be saved, we'd sit down with them with the Bible and show them how they can know. Nobody approached anybody as far as I know, but they, you know, just pray for decisions. There, I know there's people there that were not saved. And it was a blessing. I know many people, there's a few that came up, and I appreciate the people coming up and the support. And then there were some that tried, but I know Saturday's schedule are pretty busy, and I just, you know, the cards and the prayers, I know you were there. I just, if not physically, spiritually, you're praying, and it just means a lot. It really means a lot. So, but just remember to pray for my dad, that he'll be strong and get through this time. So, excuse me. All right. Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. It's so neat. You know, we have a Bible that's so sure and so perfect and right. And this morning I read on the news where two guys were shot in a parking lot over here in Brooklyn Center over a pair of Air Jordans. What a messed up life. What a messed up world. Over a pair of tennis shoes. There's a store outside of a Foot Locker. So you got a store with thousands of pairs of shoes, and this is over one pair. Amazing. It must have been the last pair. Yeah. So, but, yeah. You were going to get those shoes, weren't you? Air Jordans. I don't think I've ever owned a pair of Air Jordans. I really don't. But I tell you what, I bet Michael Jordan doesn't give a rip. It's money. It's just money in his pocket. He doesn't care if those guys got shot. You know, that's their savior. Unbelievable. All right. Normally I say I'm not going to be very long, but it ends up being rabbit trails and all that intermingled, it gets kind of long, so I'll try to get going here. Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to read, skip around and read a bunch of verses here in this chapter. Let's start with prayer. That'd be the best thing to do. Lord, thank you for this morning, and I thank you for the Word of God, and I thank you for its power, its strength. And Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. It's just something you showed me. I'd like to share with the people here this morning. I pray it's a blessing. Speak through me and help me to purvey my thoughts to the people here and what you would have them to hear. Thank you again for your word. In your name, amen. Okay, verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 7, God that made the firmament divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Verse 10, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and its tree yielding fruit, whose seed it was in itself and after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. Verse 18, and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. Then 30 and 31 at the end, and every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And evening and morning were the first day. You're saying, where are you going with this? We serve a God that's so, and we serve a God that's good. There's no gray area. Man made gray area. He brings in the questions. He brings in the doubts. He brings in the fears. But in that book, everything God made was so, and it was good. And it's just, that's the way it is. I wrote down a statement here. In our world today, we see the effects of the most dangerous words known to man, I think. You hear it all over the place. You hear it in pulpits. You hear it in the world. You hear it in the evolution in the world. You hear it, you listen to sports radio. They have nothing for sure. Well, if this happens, well, I think this, I think that, well, it should be this. Well, if this happens, if that, it's all questions. There's no facts. In this world, all we have is I think. Man sticks their nose into it, and we get the gray area. We get the I think. With the removal of God and the Bible from society, we are found living out Judges 17:6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. With Satan first hatching doubt in the words of God back in Genesis 3, yea, hath God said, we have now lived to the point where we see the full-grown potential of the satanic question and the results, beginning with modern Bibles, a modern God, a modern Christ, and modern churches. And it's even more developed nowadays as we see time going on. Modern Bibles has turned into traditions and ideas. Modern God is many gods. Turn on your TV. Every channel has gods on it. Daytime soap operas, sporting events, movies, actors, actresses. Every channel has a god on it. And people watch it religiously. They do. They go to the movies because so-and-so is in this movie. And they like this guy. He's awesome. I'm going to watch this football game because so-and-so, Peyton Manning is playing in this game. Well, he's retired now. So your God retired. Now what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to go find another God? Go down to the rent-a-God place and we'll see who shines next year. Maybe Cam Newton will be on my pedestal next year. The big crybaby. Yeah. Yeah. And then when the scandal arises, you got a God with scandal. Just Adrian Peterson, you got a God that beats his kids. You know what? What are you going to do? Where do you go with your God? What's your God like today? How much more time do you spend with your God than God himself? How much more so is your God than my God? How much better, how much more good? I don't know if that's a phrase. You say more good? I don't know if that's more gooder. My God is good. There's nothing there. He's good. Everything he does, everything he says is good, and we're going to talk about that today. The modern Christ has just become a man, a buddy. You know, he's just a guy I hang out with. He's not holy anymore for any means. They don't hold his name in reverence. Yesterday, the guy who preached the funeral, he went through the names of Christ. It was a blessing. Started with alphabetically, went through from Alpha all the way through, I don't remember where, Wonderful, I believe, Wonderful Counsel. It was really good. And just named the names of Christ. But now today, he's just a man. Well, most of the time you hear his name, it's a cuss word. You know, isn't that, I got it, first rabbit trail. Isn't it amazing? You know, people, like my mom died, she was a born-again Christian. She's in heaven today. And I have no doubt about that. No doubt at all. But then you got a modern world today who cuss and swear, use God's name in vain. Jesus doesn't exist, but when they're about to go off a cliff in their car, it's, oh my God. Or it's, oh, he's in a better place. Where? You think God's going to let you into his heaven after you used his name as a cuss word your whole life? You had no time for him at all. You kicked guys off your front porch that wanted to tell you the truth. And now you're in a better place. Oh, he's up above watching over us today. What, did the devil let him out of hell for a little while? To hover above you? It's just amazing. The thoughts, the I think in the world. Well, I don't think a God would send anybody to hell. He doesn't. You choose to go there. You reject his son. And you choose to go to hell on your own. All right, I'm getting off track. Stop doing that. Modern churches today have become nightclubs and community centers. It's just a joke. You go to see how these churches are and how these Christians supposedly act and everything, and it's just amazing to see and hear how they're just like the world. They can cuss and swear and drink and go to nightclubs and do everything the world does, but on Sunday they're right there in church worshiping their modern God in their modern church. It makes me mad. You know, hey, want to help you spread the gospel? No, just please stay over there. You're more of a hindrance than anything. Guys cussing God and using their name as a cuss word and then coming up to my desk and talking about the Word of God. I just tell them, you know, I'd rather you not talk about the Word of God because of the way you talk back there. Just leave his name out of it. Don't talk to me about spiritual things, please. People look at you and turn you off to the God that I want to tell them about. And the modern churches today are just, it's unbelievable what's going on. And the nightclubs, and they bring in the coffee carts, and they bring in and the rock bands, and everything. That's a different God than I serve. The God that I serve is so, and he's good. And the God that's in this Bible is so, and it's good. And he talks about how those things are wrong. And you're bringing it into the church. It's wrong. The church we went into yesterday was a church, we had it there because it was centrally located where my mom and dad grew up, and there'd be a lot of people that could come to the funeral that normally couldn't travel. And their funeral plots were just a few miles away from there. And it's the church my mom grew up in. In the pew, every slot in the pew had an NIV in it that a guy had donated. It never used to be like that. The church used to be solid. It used to have the Word of God. It used to preach the gospel. And it's just gone. It's just cold. It's dry. Yesterday it was alive for the first time in I don't know how many years. Because the truth was told, the gospel was preached. But today, real quick, I'm going to go through, the title of this was The God That Is So Ungood Compared to the God of I Think. So number one, let's go over to Numbers chapter 23 and Isaiah chapter 39. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Everything he does is so and good. If he said it, he's going to do it. Well, I don't think. He didn't ask you. He didn't ask your opinion. You weren't around when he wrote this. If he were to ask, you know, that's the thing. So many people think that they're around today to help God out. Well, God, you kind of missed something there in the Greek. What, the whole verse? Really? Oh boy, isn't God excited that he created you to help him out? Take that, he created you to help him out. Amazing. Unbelievable the way people think. Isaiah chapter 39, verse 8. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. What God said was good. It was right. It was so. We see it throughout the whole Old Testament. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It was not our job. We're English-speaking Americans. I think I have a God. I don't think. I know I have a God that could save a book for me in the English language. It's not up to men of renown and professors and men of knowledge and education to preserve the Word of God. He said, I'm going to take care of that. I'll preserve it for you. I said I would. I'm going to do it because I am so and I'm good. It says back there in Numbers, the word of the Lord is, did he not say it and he'd do it? And he said he would. So I just got to trust him that he would. And that it's going to be good, just like he is. It's amazing. And turn over to Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33. Psalm 33, verse 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You look around, you just go out. You know, there's a lot of guys in here that like to hunt or used to hunt or like to fish and used to fish. Or just going for walks out on a walking trail and looking around and seeing the goodness of God. You know, ask him, why did you make a pine tree? What was your reason behind that? You know, why did you make so many different kinds of trees? Why did you make, you know, the rivers to flow this way and not that way? Why, you know, just asking him questions. He's up there just chuckling, but he's, hey, good, I created you for fellowship. This is what I'm looking for. At least somebody's talking to me. He made all these things because he's good and right, and everything we can see is good, and it was so. And we read about it in Genesis chapter 1, how he just spoke it into existence. And it was right where it was supposed to be, doing exactly what it's supposed to do. No, it all came from an explosion. Really? Really? That's amazing. Go down to Menards, buy yourself one of those garage kits, Put it in your driveway and start blowing it up with dynamite and see if you come up with a garage or not. That's the whole reasoning behind the thing. Nothing has come out of, nothing but chaos has come out of explosions. Lives are lost because of explosions. Buildings are blown out of existence because of explosions. But this whole earth, the universe, the orderliness of it, and the how good it is and how right it is came from an explosion. How stupid. That's just plain stupidity. Now we got the God of so, the God that is so, the Word of God is so, it's pure, it's right. And how many times have you been in a spot in your life where you needed some advice and counsel, and you read something in the Bible that morning, and that's it. That's the answer right there. But it can't be if it's not right, if it's not so, and it's not good. Aren't you thankful that you have a pastor and you have a God that showed you that this book is right? Beyond reason, beyond doubt, it's good and it's so. We have a final authority and the world doesn't. You got churches out there that using 33 different kinds of Bibles on a Sunday morning and they have nothing that's so. Nothing that's good. They have no final authority. They can take this book and read a verse, but they can find another version that'll discredit it. That's messed up, and that's not of God because it's not so, and it's not good. Raising doubt and doubt, everything about the Word of God, everything about God Himself is being doubted today in churches all over the Twin City area because they don't have a Bible that's so. They don't have a Word of God that's so, and it's messed up. And you got so here we got a background. We got the God that's so against the God of I think. Okay, here we go. God of I think. Man, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. John 8:44, ye of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Turn over to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2 real quick. Malachi chapter 2 verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he that delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? We weary God when we think. I heard a pastor once say, he did a study on every time in the Bible that a man thought. And it was 81 times where man thought, and 81 times he was wrong. Why would God take a man who disobeyed him from the beginning of time? A man that has a sin nature, a man that has a heart that's deceitful and wicked above all imagination. Why would he take somebody like that and say, hey, could you write a book for me? Hey, could you correct my word for me? Hey, why don't I leave you the preservation of my word? How ridiculous. How stupid. Why would you go to work and be the boss of somebody who just questions everything you do on the job? Well, I think you should do this. You know, you hear it in the break room all the time. Oh, the administration, they really messed up here. They should do it this way. You know, or my boss did this, my boss did that. That's not right. That's not right. Why would you pick somebody like that to work for you or be a supervisor for you when they don't agree with you? God, he said, I'm in charge of the preservation of this book. Why would I leave it with sinful man? Read the preface of the NIV. The last paragraph in the preface of the NIV says, as all other versions of the Bible written by imperfect man. Well, throw the thing out. I'm going off the deep end. I'm going to live like I did when I was in the Navy, because if it's written by imperfect man, who's to say he's right? I got a better idea than him. I don't think it should say that. I think it should say this. That favors me. That's messed up. Isn't it nice to know? Isn't it comforting to know? What a peace to know that we have a God that's so and a God that's good. And he gave us a book that resembles his attributes and not us. We'd all have a Bible. We'd all have a book written in our words if we could. And every time we get in trouble in our life, that's when we refer to our Bible. The Bible of I think. Let's go on. One other thing. They make God a liar. They said, God said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Why would God say that and not give it to us? As we read that verse, God is not a man that he should lie. He told us he's going to give us the word of God, and I believe it, and he did. But by rewriting the book and rewriting the Bible and saying, well, in the Greek and in the Hebrew, or I think a better rendering, you're saying God lied, and we didn't get every word. You're saying God messed up. Boy, that's some huge shoes to fill. And I wouldn't want to be in those shoes when it comes Judgment Day. Amazing thing. So number one, what God says is so and good. Next thing, what he does is so and good. We read about it in Genesis chapter 1. Six times he said it is so, it was so, and six times he said it was good. Six times, each one. Miracles. We've all had seen things in our life. We've seen anywhere from minor things up to major answers to prayer. Miracles that God used and put in our lives to lead us and direct us towards him and have more faith and trust in him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I will show you. He just said, he goes, I will do it. Because he's so. And he's good. He takes care of his own. The Garden of Eden, he said it, he created it, and it was perfect. Who messed it up? Man. Well, that sure looks good. I think I'm going to eat it. Even when God said not to. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I can't remember what it says, so I'm going to turn there real quick. There hath no temptation taken you, which is common to man, but he will. Oh, I'm going to go there and read it. I don't want to misquote it. 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. What a loving God. He does it. What he does is he will make a way of escape. How many of us take that way of escape? It's there, it's so, it's good, it'll keep you out of trouble. But so many times we see the way of escape, but we're like, oh boy, that this is going to be really fun, or this is going to be really good, or this is going to be, you know, and we do it anyways and mess up. We start thinking again. But God, do I think? Do you really think that there's a reason God doesn't ask your opinion? Seriously. We talked about that earlier, about the Bible. How about our actions? How about the way we're supposed to live? How about the come as you are crowd out there? You know, how about separation? You know, things like that. He didn't ask your opinion about anything. He put it down in writing and said, this is the way it is. It's so and it's good. No, there's no gray area. There's no right, you know, blank spots here for you to write what you think. It's there. It's in black and white, sometimes red. You read it, and that's what it is. There's no question about it. There's no wavering. There's no shadow of turning. It's that way. It's it. It's narrow. And it just, the world starts making trying to build onto the narrow way, and there's no, you can't do that. You're going to get in trouble. When God does something, he makes sure the right people are present. And when he does something, it's good and it's right, and when he does it, the right people are there to see it. and to experience it. And there's anytime he does it, there's irrefutable proof that it's right and it's good and it's perfect and it's of God. And there's no other way it could be of anything else. You take the when Elijah was on Mount Carmel, and who was there? Elijah the prophet, the Israelites who needed to see this miracle, and the prophets of Baal. Everybody who needed to see that miracle at that time was there, was present. And he brought the fire down and burned up the altar and burned up everything in sight. And the prophets of Baal saw that, and they're sitting over there all bloody and, you know, weak and tired, and they see this fire come down, and what went through their minds? But then, you know, but the Israelites were there. They needed to see it, and they saw it, and it was real, and it was right, and it was true, and it was good. And they changed their minds. We're going to serve God. They needed to see it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were there. The Chaldeans were there that accused them. And King Nebuchadnezzar, who thought he was something more than God, they saw what he did. They saw what God did. And they saw that it could only been of God. And it was so, and it was good. We threw three in the furnace, and now there's four. And they came out with not even a smell of smoke on their garments. That was no mistake. Nebuchadnezzar saw it and said, that had to be of God. Blessed be the God of Israel, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's nowhere else he could have turned with that. It wasn't his big statue he had sitting out on the plains that did anything for that. Nebuchadnezzar, when he got turned into an animal, basically, and he got done, and he said, blessed be the God of heaven. He said he was going to do it, and he did. And here I am. I'm living proof that only God could have done that. And it was good, and it was so. It was exactly what he said he was going to do. Stephen and Paul. Stephen, with the face of an angel getting stoned. How many of us could go through that? And he looked up into heaven and saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and Paul standing there holding the garments of the people throwing the stones. He said, and he was getting pricked. He couldn't kick against the pricks. How could somebody, nobody around him that was throwing stones, and nobody, none of the unbelievers could have looked at that and said, oh, he's just strong-willed. He doesn't feel much pain. It had to be of God. It had to be the God of Stephen that brought him through that. And then he fell asleep. Just fell asleep. I'd love to have been there for that. Not you know, I'm not gawking or anything, you know, like seeing a traffic ticket or something. Everybody, you know, but just to see, I just picture Stephen, you know, blessed be the name of the God of God the Father, and he just curls up in a ball and goes to sleep while they're chucking rocks at him. I just, you know, you get pictures like that in heaven. It's just like I was talking to Brother Nate the other night about what mom is doing now in heaven. What is she up to? What is she doing? You know, and I told him, I said, I just like the picture. The moment she dies, she wakes up and she's in heaven, just kind of sitting there going. And then she walks up in this. This is an I think. Okay. An angel walks up to him, and he's got the mask on, or the hat on, and he's got mud, you know, drywall mud on him, and he's, I just finished your mansion. You want to come see it? You know, just things like that. You know, just what a blessing that is. I mean, I think God allows a little leeway there to have a little fun, but, you know, we have no idea what it's going to be like. We don't. But it's just kind of funny. But what he does is so good, Stephen. And then you think of Peter and Cornelius. Peter needed some convincing. And he went to go talk to a Gentile, and he didn't think that the Gentiles were allowed to get the gospel, and here's Cornelius getting the gospel and praising the Lord and singing praises to God, and he said, it's real. God said it. He did it. It's right. It's so, and it's good. The 10 plagues in Israel. The Israelites had to be there, and Pharaoh had to be there, and the Egyptians. And they saw what this God of Israel did. He said, I'm going to do this, and he did it. I'm going to do this, and he did it. Well, maybe you should let him go. No, no, he needs a little more. He needs to see this, and he did it. He needs to see this, and just kept. Finally, at the end, he said, there has to be a God. It has to be their God. There's no other way. It wasn't Dagon. It wasn't any of their gods that they worshipped back then. And it was so, and it was good, and they saw the miracles that he did. They got to the Red Sea and the parting of the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were there and the Israelites were there. The murmuring, complaining Israelites were there. Oh, God let us down. God messed up. Just like today. Just like today. God messed up. He should have left us back there being sinners and on our way to hell. Should have left us in Egypt where we could eat and be slaves and get whipped every day. Woohoo! But then God says, just stand still and see what I can do. And part of the Red Sea. Can you imagine their eyes? Imagine their minds? Can you imagine the conviction in their hearts saying, wow, sorry? You know? And the Egyptians going, oh. And that part where God looked at the Egyptians through the fire. Man, living. What a fear that had to put in their hearts. And then to see the sea part like that, that had to be, this has to be their God. Their God is real. He said he was going to lead them out, and he does. He delivers them from everything. He takes them through everything. He provides everything for them. Maybe he is so. And he is good. Just like they said. Last year I went to Romania. Didn't have any money. But God provided. It had to be him. I prayed for it and he got it. And there was nowhere else it could have come from. But I was there. My doubting self. My wife was there. My kids were there. And they got to see my God work. They got to see how good my God is. And they got to see how so my God is. Here's exactly what you need. Need anything else? You just ask. And I'll give it to you. Isn't that a blessing? But we got the God of I think, who says the God who answers prayer is the First National Bank. Or, well, I'm not getting the money, so God must not want me to go. The Red Sea has become the Reed Sea. You know, he could wade through it. Well, then how did they drown? I just pictured all the Egyptians falling flat on their face going, you know, they're just, you know, come on, really? Unbelievable. And it was the dry season, so how are they going to drown? You know, it's a stupid creation becomes evolution. We talked about that already. Changed life, a separated life becomes, oh, you're fine. That's fine. You can do whatever you want. Just live however you want. And the church does whatever it wants. Just an amazing thing. That's the God of so and the God of the God of good against the God of I think. When man gets involved, it just becomes messed up. Just becomes messed up. And the last thing is what he offers is so and good. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We talked about what he says is so and good. What he does is so and good. Now what he offers is so and good. First of all, we're going to see a Savior that's so and good. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Man, that's amazing. Without sin. Turn over to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 26. For such a high priest became us who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Undefiled. Undefiled. Chapter 9, verse 14 of Hebrews. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What a Savior we have! He was perfect. He was sinless, without sin, and he died for us on a cross. We have a good and so Savior. We have a good and so advocate that we can go to. It's not just one of the guys. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." It had to be a perfect sacrifice. 1 Peter 1:19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We have a perfect Savior. We have a good Savior and a soul Savior. He's perfect. He's been where we've been. He's felt the temptation. He's been stabbed in the back. He's been talked bad about. He's been ridiculed. He's been pushed off as a lunatic. My cousin's husband, who preached the service yesterday, he took a stand years ago for the King James Bible. And he took a stand. Him and his wife ended up in his family and his wife's family basically pushed him off to the side and said, "We don't want anything to do with you. You're nuts." Christ has been there. And we have a Savior that's so and good, and we can go to him and he says, "Yeah, I've been there. I've been there. This is what I did. This is how you can get through this. I will get you through this. Just trust me." They didn't turn and throw their Bibles out the door and say, "Oh, forget it, we're done." No, they said, "Well, we don't want to lose our family." Over your Savior? 1 Peter 2:21-22, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." 1 John 3:5, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." We have a Savior that's so, and we have a Savior that's good. We have a salvation that's so and good. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Lord." Is. Not maybe. Well, if you do this, if you do that, it's shall. Shall. Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." It's so, and it's good. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We have a salvation that's good, and it's so. There's no question about it. In the new Bibles, they say being saved. Or works, or you got churches all over here saying, "Oh, you're fine." Just like that Catholic priest told me one time, "How can I go to heaven?" "Oh, you're I wouldn't worry about it if I were you." Are you serious? Are you kidding me? That's why in his church, Christ is still on the cross. They have a better idea. They have an I think Savior. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. Mercy. Mercy is so good. 41 times in the Bible, "Because his mercy endureth forever." Where would we be today without God's mercy and his saving grace? We'd be lost and without any hope at all. Any hope. But he sent us a Savior that's so, and gave us a salvation that's so, and he knew we were sinners. He knew we were corrupt, but he sent it anyway. And showed mercy on us and gave us an opportunity to make a right choice and choose something that's so over something that's not. What a blessed Savior. What a blessed Savior. Turn over to John 14. John 14. Familiar verse to everybody in here, I'm sure. I'll just hurry through these. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have a peace that's so, and a peace that's good. We can go through troubles in life. I don't know how the world can deal with a death in a family. We talked about that so much in the last couple months. What do they have? The God that they cursed and swore, he's not there. I'll give you all my earthly possessions to cure this disease I have, whatever it takes. I'm having trouble at work. I'm having trouble in my marriage. Well, you think Jack Daniels has the answer? How about the local marijuana guy down the street? You think he's got the answer when he's not in jail? The world does not have a lasting peace. It's all temporary. Same with the joy they give. Everything they have is temporary. But we have a lasting peace that nobody can understand unless they know Christ as their Savior. And we have that through our God that's so and good. How about the God of I think? The Savior didn't finish the job. So we got to go selling papers door to door. We have to do catechism. We have to go through, we have to do the communion. We have to do the works. We have to do more than, you know, we have to get baptized because Christ didn't do enough. Our Savior's our works. Our Savior is, oh, I'm a good person. Really, in whose mind? That's where thoughts come from. From your heart, go through your mind and say, oh, I'm a good person. You're deceived. You're deceived. We're dirt. We're sinful dirt. It's even worse. And only Christ can save you from that. Only Christ can give you a peace and joy. But their Savior, he didn't finish the job. He didn't do a good enough job. Well, that, where does that come from? If you start doubting the Word of God and doubting the Bible, where else have you got to turn? You don't have a Savior anymore that can save you, that's real and good. You don't have a Bible that's so and good. Their salvation is works and a fake gospel. Their mercy is everyone goes to heaven. Everyone does. Well, when God sees my good works, when he puts the works in a scale, that whole thing. Really, your good works outweigh what a perfect Savior did on the cross? Really? Have you really thought about that? Have you really read about, or just even a little bit about Jesus Christ and how he lived a perfect, sinless life, and you outweighed him? That's as bad as a Catholic saying Mary was equal with Christ. She was born into sin, just like every one of us. Loving kindness. In this world, it's all about me first. Yeah, I'll take care of your business as long as I'm taken care of first. Loving kindness. Peace. They have nothing for peace. Nothing. I talked to a relative yesterday. In fact, we went to do the nursing home up here the first Sunday we did one of the nursing homes. And while we were going into the nursing home, one of my cousins came out with her husband. They were in there visiting his grandma. And it was a big game for the Vikings that day. And they were all dressed in their purple, all dressed in their yellow, all dressed, all ready to praise the Vikings. And they lost. You know, that's normal. Peace? How long does that last? Who won it? The Broncos won this year, right? They won the Super Bowl. Oh, wait, we're the greatest until the season opens again next year. And it starts all over again. You have peace. Yeah, I forget all about work and all the distractions at work when I'm drunk. Then you wake up the next day with the problems and the distractions and a headache. That's your peace. That's your world. That's what they got. They don't talk to God. They don't ask God. They ask a, a pastor, or they ask a backslidden pope, and they ask somebody else about where, if I'm all right or not, and they get a wrong answer, and they think they're good. And they just take that, okay, all right, all right. Unbelievable. They don't look to God anymore. Same with joy, temporary. Temporary. We've all got excited at things, you know, just overexcited, you know, maybe an unexpected monetary gift or an unexpected Vikings victory, you know, and we get excited about it, but then in just minutes it's over. It's done. It's temporary. That's the God of I think. The God of I think. Last thing, Proverbs chapter 24. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 24. We can't get caught up in this mess. We have ourselves to worry about, and we have our own decisions every day that we make that we need to base it on the God that's so, on a God that's good, and the word that he gave us to go by, the standard, the final authority. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. We have a job to do. We have a job to get the gospel out. We have a job to tell those that are lost about our Savior. How much do we really trust that Savior in our daily lives? Do we believe that he's so and good? Or is he just another one of the guys? How much of our thought, what do we think that gets in the trouble of what God said? We need to, we can sit here and throw darts at everybody outside these walls, but what about us? What about us? You can verify, you can agree with me, I think, that every time we get in trouble with the Lord, we thought, and it was wrong, instead of what God said. It's sometimes, you may take this wrong, I hope not, we're in a church that believes that this Bible is the Word of God. Sometimes that's really good, but sometimes that's bad because we know the truth. And sometimes we turn and trust our own thoughts over this book. But we have the truth, and that's a blessing. We have a church that's rare, and we get the truth every week. We have a Bible that we can sit down every morning and read and know that this is God talking. And it's so, and it's good. Isn't that a blessing? And all we have to do is just do what it says. It's easier said than done. But God says, just trust me. Just trust me. It was my mom's favorite verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know, just put your trust in the Lord, and He'll lead your ways. He'll take care of you. Don't lean under your own understanding. Just do what God said. We have the God that's so ungood, not the God of I think. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you.